Summer's not that far off, and the kids are already thinking vacation. Will you be ready for it? I am Rob West. How can you make great family memories without breaking the budget? That's always the challenge. But Crystal Payne joins us today with some great tips for a budget-friendly family vacation. And then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our friend Crystal Payne is our guest today. She's a sister in Christ, the creator of the very popular website MoneySavingMom.com and a frequent contributor here at Faith and Finance. And we're delighted to have you back, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me back.
All right, Crystal, today we're talking all about having a great family vacation while sticking to a spending limit. And I know you've got some tips for us, so let's dive in. What's first?
So the first step is always planning ahead. Start early to maximize your options. Consider traveling to an area that's not on the beaten path for fewer crowds. And if you're flying, I love to use the Google Flight Search. You can choose your dates of when you want to go. And then you can choose to fly anywhere to see the lowest options available around the country during those dates. So it's just really helpful to figure out where would be the best place to go for the best price. And then also to set a clear budget for your entire trip and decide what's important for you and what's not. So maybe staying at the beach is a priority, but you're happy to bring food instead of going out to eat.
Yeah. For your household, do the kids get in that conversation when you're picking the where?
Absolutely. Yes, they do. I just took my daughter on a spring break trip recently, used the Google Flight Search, and she said, "I don't care where we go. I just want to go to a beach."
I love it. That's so good. All right. Well, obviously not having a plan can be very expensive. So I love that first tip. What's tip number two?
So this is going to really save you money, and that's to take advantage of free activities. So these can be the hidden gems of any vacation. You can search online for your destination, plus the words best free things to do or something similar like that, and usually find a lot of great ideas. I do this often, and you can look into hiking options, self-guided walking tours, local parks. Some even museums are free, or art exhibits, or even free festivals or concerts.
Crystal, are you using AI tools to build itineraries, or are you just still doing an internet search and then kind of building it yourself?
I haven't used AI yet, but I use AI a lot for my business, and I keep hearing from so many of my friends who are using it for planning trips. So I want to try it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I think the free options are often overlooked, and it's a great reminder that there's some great things that'll be really memorable that we don't need to miss. All right, what's next?
So get the family involved in planning would be tip number three. We talked a little bit about, you know, letting our kids choose where they want to go, but maybe that's just allowing them to choose an activity. You're not going to be able to do everything where you go, and you can't always know what your family members would love to do. So ask them what's important to them. Let them help with the planning. And also a fun thing to do is give everyone a set budget. Let them plan a few hours of the vacation with that budget. That's a great way for kids to learn practical skills, and they can also appreciate how much things cost.
Totally. That's a great idea. So practical, and it allows everyone to have a piece of the vacation that their interests are going to be reflected. So that's really good. All right. What about tip number four?
So that's to be strategic about your meals. Food can cost a lot if you let it. Really paying attention to that. We like to stay in a hotel that offers a free breakfast and then bring snacks and food from home for at least one meal a day. That way we usually only eat out once a day, and that saves a lot of money. Another thing that we've done a lot, especially if you're flying and you can't bring as much food with you, go to the grocery store when you get into town and pick up stuff for sandwiches. For instance, buying a loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter and jelly, some chips, carrots, fruit. It's usually going to be a lot less expensive than if you were to go and eat out.
Yeah, and part of traveling is just having fun, splurging with a nice meal. But let's be strategic about which meals those are. And I think picking up some things at the grocery store for lunch is a great way to do that. All right, we've got time for just one more, about 30 seconds. What is it?
Okay, back to the budget. Set a daily spending limit at the beginning of the trip. Make sure you know what your daily spending limit is. View it as a sort of family game. See how far you can stretch this amount every day and stay under budget. This is a really fun way to get your kids involved, to help them think intentionally about purchases, and to make budgeting a fun family affair.
I love it. Well, and the best vacation is the one you come home to that doesn't have any debt involved, no credit cards that you're still paying on. Crystal, this has been so helpful as always. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's family finances expert Crystal Payne. Learn more at moneysavingmom.com. That's moneysavingmom.com. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
If a child in your home were hungry, would you ignore their need? Of course not. Parents and grandparents go to great lengths to ensure children have what they need: food, shelter, protection. And if we know God loves us, why are we sometimes afraid He won't provide? As Jesus says in Matthew 7, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Our God is not uncaring. He's our Father. He delights in providing. And so today, don't be shy. Ask Him to care for your needs and watch how He provides. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Tackling any financial topic today, we're ready to dive into those questions and help you think about them in light of biblical wisdom. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We've got lines available. This is a great time to call before they get all filled up. In the news today, the U.S. Department of Education announced it will resume involuntary collections on defaulted federal student loans starting May the 5th. These collections, paused since March 2020, will be carried out through the Treasury Offset Program, allowing the government to withhold tax refunds, Social Security benefits, and other federal payments to cover overdue debt. Following the expiration of the pandemic-era payment pause in September 2023, borrowers were granted a final year of leniency. That relief ended on September 30th, 2024. More than 5 million borrowers are in default, with another 4 million over 90 days delinquent. Affected borrowers will be contacted via email within 2 weeks and are encouraged to contact the default resolution group. Options include enrolling in the income-driven repayment plan, which is exclusively available through the federal loan program. That allows them to perhaps dial back that monthly amount that they have to pay, but right-sizes it for their income. Another option is a loan rehabilitation program. You can also set up a monthly payment. Those who remain in default may face wage garnishment and further federal collection actions. Borrowers are urged to act quickly to avoid the penalties that can come. They can be harsh, and to seek available support in managing their student debt. If you're feeling anxious about what's ahead, remember that your worth is not defined by your debt, but by the one who paid a far greater debt on your behalf. God sees your situation and promises to provide wisdom to those who ask. We're reminded of that in James 1:5. So take the next step in faith. Trust that He will walk with you even through your financial uncertainty. You are not alone, and your future is ultimately in His hands. And if we can help, be sure to give us a call, 800-525-7000. All right, we're going to dive into your questions today. Again, lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Sandy standing by to take those calls. You can call right now. We're going to begin in Florida today. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Can you hear me all right, Rob?
I sure can. Yes, sir.
Okay. My question, Rob, is I'm retired, living on Social Security. I have no debt. All my key expenses are paid off. Whenever I have a significant project that I'm only pulling in about $1,900 a month on Social Security. So whenever I have a project for the house or whatever, I pull it out of my, I believe it's an IRA that my broker has set up for me. And what I'm wondering from your expertise is that the best way to go about financing these projects so that I can remain debt-free and I don't have to finance anything and incur any interest?
Yeah, it's a great question. And let me just say, first of all, Chris, kudos to you. You're in a strong position being debt-free. You know, that IRA is obviously money you worked hard to set aside during your working years. Now you're retired, 69, living on Social Security. So that's what it's there for. The only thing we're going to want to keep an eye on is just what that withdrawal rate looks like to ensure that we can keep this IRA around for as long as possible, to the extent that Social Security alone is not enough, you know, to cover your living expenses, especially as some of those expenses can grow in the future, namely around long-term care and medical-related expenses. So what is your balance roughly on that IRA? And then if you look at the last 12 months, how much have you pulled out?
In the last 12 months, I have not. I took a recent distribution of a taxed distribution of $25,000 out, and that was it for this current calendar year. Before that, I've still got about $5,000 in a savings account that is a remnant of the $10,000 I withdrew in 2024. So I'm very frugal with my money, and yeah, I kept that distribution from 2024 around in case I came up short or got hit with any unbudgeted expenses that would put me over the ability to pay with the $1,900 a month Social Security.
Got it. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. It sounds like you're being really judicious about how you're using that money. The $25,000 that you mentioned, is that what's needed but you haven't taken, or have you already taken that as well?
I took that out about a month ago, and that was taxed. Whenever my broker sends me the money, he withdraws 10% in tax off of that right off the top.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good practice. That way that's a head start on what you'll ultimately owe. Even if that's not enough, at least you've got something that is offsetting that tax liability. What is the balance on that IRA roughly?
Before all this market turmoil started up, I think it was right around the beginning of the year, it was about $1.2 million. And honestly, Rob, I hate to sound like a chicken, but after my broker called me to congratulate me with going over the million mark, I have not looked at the account. It was down slightly in the first quarter, but I haven't actually looked at it probably in several weeks.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's probably a good thing, because the last thing you'd want to do would be to react emotionally and call him and say, hey, let's get out of the market. And so I'm glad you have an advisor overseeing it, because that, you know, makes sure that we're not acting on an emotional basis. We've got hopefully a rules-based, you know, approach to investment management. Sounds like he's doing a good job. It grew, you know, from that $1 million mark to now 1.2. I'm sure it's down. You know, it may be back close to the million, depending on kind of what your allocation is, but I'm okay with that. You know, I think just in terms of a rule of thumb, if you were to think about limiting, and you've you know, gone far under this, which is great, limiting to your annual distributions to, you know, no more than 4% a year, which would be on your case, 48,000 on the 1.2, obviously a little less than that if the balance has come down. But as long as you're staying under that, that's why this money is there. I think you're taking out an appropriate amount, so it should continue to grow despite these withdrawals. And the last thing we'd want to do is take on debt, you know, and pay interest when you've got this money sitting there for this purpose. So, you know, I think you're in great shape. I'd say continue to do this. And given how little you're pulling out, I think you've got, you know, even a bit more room there for you to do other things, you know, if you wanted to do some work on the house or take a trip or something like that.
You nailed it, Rob. I was going to ask you about that, because that, after the current project is done with, I had planned on getting back on track with home renovation, and I'm very judicious with that. A lot of people from my church, we have a lot of craft type people, carpenters and and builder stuff. So they normally are my go-to.
I love it. One other thing, once you're 70 and a half, I understand you're not there yet, that'll be the time for you to look at doing qualified charitable distributions. Any giving you're doing out of cash, you ought to replace with qualified charitable distributions, and then you can get that money out without paying any tax on it. Hang on the line. I want to send you a copy of our magazine. We'll be right back.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
AFA is a listener-supported ministry, and one very popular way to help us fulfill the Great Commission is through the AFA Foundation. You may know about things like charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts, and wills, but even if you don't, AFA Foundation will not only provide in-depth answers to your questions, we'll even help you set everything up so you can leave a legacy that lasts for generations. Get started today at AFAFoundation.net. AFAFoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You had a great call there just a moment ago, and we were able to finish up off the air a bit more as we talked with the previous caller just about, you know, how we can manage the money that we have in that retirement season of life. As we chatted with Chris, I mean, he's in a really strong position, really being judicious about what he takes out of his IRA. But that's what that money is there for. Now, I hit on something right there at the tail end that I want to make sure to circle back on, because I think a lot of people miss this. And that's the opportunity, once you're 70 and a half, to do what's called a qualified charitable distribution. This is specifically money coming out of an IRA. It can't be a 401k. It's got to be an individual retirement account, in a traditional. But you can take money out of that, which normally, you know, the money goes into that traditional IRA either by way of rollover or direct contributions pre-tax. So you remember, the money that went into that account was excluded from your federal and state taxes. So you got the deduction on it. And then normally you pay tax on it as income when it comes out. The only way to get the money out tax-free, which means it went in without paying any tax on it, it's also coming out without any tax, is when it goes direct to charity or your church or the American Family Association. And when you use that qualified charitable distribution, you're getting that money out of that IRA and you're never paying tax, which means you get to satisfy your required minimum if you have it. Or at the very least, you get to hang on to cash you've already paid tax on in your checking or savings account and just have that money go straight from your IRA to that ministry or charity. And it's a huge opportunity, because now you've got more going into the kingdom because there was never any tax paid on it, which is just an enormous blessing. And so a lot of folks will just say, you know what, I'm giving X amount for my checking account every month to my church, or I might be sending a systematic contribution here to FaithFi, but instead I'm going to have that money, instead of going out of after-tax accounts, I'm going to come out of a pre-tax account through the qualified charitable distribution and go straight to that ministry and never pay any tax on it. What an opportunity. So don't miss that. If you're 70 and a half, you can do up to $105,000 out of an IRA through a qualified charitable distribution. You just call your broker or your broker-dealer like Schwab or Fidelity or Edward Jones or Merrill Lynch, whoever you have your IRA with, and just say, I want to do a qualified charitable distribution. They'll send a check straight to the ministry. Let the ministry know it's coming, and then you can report that on your 1040 that, yes, it was a withdrawal, but it gets offset on the line below it because it was a qualified charitable distribution, and so no tax is paid, even though the withdrawal occurred. So don't miss that. Oh, it's a phenomenal opportunity for you that are in that fourth quarter of life. You've got IRA money and you want to give generously. All right, let's get back to the phones. We do have some lines open. So if you have a financial question today here on Faith and Finance, give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Maryland. Hi, Ingrid. Thanks for your patience. How can I help you?
Yes. I would like to know, I have a backup card is from a store here in Frederick, Maryland, and it's like $700, close to $800, and I also have to pay all the bills, like my cell phone on Cricket.
Yes, ma'am.
And I also have to pay Xfinity. Is for my for my
yeah, for your cable or your internet?
For the internet.
Yes,
for
ma'am.
The internet. And I also have other bills like the Potomac Edison. I'm very behind on that.
Okay.
I have to pay $172.60.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have a water bill that is outstanding too. It's $246.28.
And Ingrid, are you just having trouble kind of making all of that work with the limited income that you have?
Yes.
Yeah. Very
yes,
good.
Yes, because I only have Social Security SSI, and that is $967 per month.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I know that can be a real challenge, and I appreciate your call today. And I'd like to help with this. Here's what I'd like to do. If you'd be willing to get on the phone with one of our certified Christian financial counselors, these are men and women who have been trained to come alongside God's people and help them to manage God's money. And they're very adept at situations like this where there's limited resources and you're just trying to balance it all. And perhaps if you'd be willing, they could help you look at all the income you have, look at the bills you have, and develop a plan for how you cover each of these bills throughout the month. Now, the extent to which there's just not enough money there to make it go around, we're either going to need to try to cut back, eliminate some of those expenses, or find a way to get some additional income. That may not be possible, but it's the other side of the equation. But in either case, they can be an encouragement to you, pray with you, and just look at the overall situation and help you figure out how to manage it. So would that be helpful for me to have somebody give you a call that could help you navigate all of this?
Yes, please.
All right. Very good. Listen, Ingrid, there's not going to be any cost to you. We're going to pay for it here at FaithFi, just as our gift to you. And we'll cover, you know, two or three or four sessions, whatever you need from the certified Christian financial counselor. And they'll just be available to you to serve you. So you stay on the line. Our team will get your phone number. And then one of our certified Christian financial counselors will reach out to you. We'll pay for it. But I'm confident they'll be a blessing to you. And I'm going to ask the faith and finance community to be praying for you as well as you steward God's resources. Sounds like you're doing a great job. I realize it's not easy, but we want to help you along the way. So stay there, right there, and we'll get somebody in touch with you. Folks, this is Faith and Finance. Back with your questions, 800-525-7000.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll look at spiritual awakening and the one ingredient that can revolutionize our prayer lives. Bill Eliff will be our guest.
John said, I've come to know and believe the love God has for me. And perfect love casts out fear. I'm not afraid. I have nothing to fear if I know the Lord loves me like that.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity.
Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open. We're ready for you today. Whatever your financial question, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind today. So if you've got something you've been wrestling with in your financial life, you can go ahead and call right now, 800-525-7000. You know, periodically we hear from folks that write into us via email, and we try to tackle a few of these questions whenever we're able to. Let's do a couple of those right now. This first one comes from Lori. She writes, I will be full retirement age in August. I'm still working, so my Social Security will be a surplus that I want to put toward my home. I still owe $82,000 on it, but I also know that it needs a lot of repairs. Does it make more sense to put this extra cash flow for repairs, paying down the mortgage, or a little bit of both? And I would just say, Lori, first of all, if your home does need repairs, let's determine, you know, first of all, are they imminent or are they, you know, more renovations? If they really are truly repairs, we probably want to go ahead and get those done just so we don't cause any damage to the home. So I would say this surplus income is a great opportunity for you to do that. I would start there. Now, obviously, the ability to fund any of that, you know, out of, you know, any other cash flow is great, but I would see all of the surplus that you have, including the Social Security, as a way to fund those repairs without taking on debt. So I think that's absolutely the priority use of that. I would say after that, let's make sure we've got a fully funded emergency fund. You know, as you head into retirement, I'd love for you to have a good 6 months living expenses, if not a little bit more in that season of life. And then once those two goals are met, you know, I would say the home repairs are fully funded and you're back up in kind of working order. You've got your fully funded emergency fund. Then let's take that money and put it toward the mortgage principal. That will, of course, reduce future interest costs and give you more cash in retirement once you can pay off that house and reclaim what is probably your largest expense. The second one is a question that we've got here is from Makisha. Here's what Makisha writes. What's the difference between getting a debt consolidation loan or working with a debt counselor? Well, this is a great question, and it's one that comes up a lot. By the way, we will be headed back to the phones here in just a moment. So if you have a question today, financial question, you can call right now. We do have some lines open, 800-525-7000. I think we were having some challenges with the phone, but we're back up and running, 800-525-7000, so you can call right now. Debt consolidation versus what I'll call debt management. So debt consolidation is a loan. It essentially is where you roll multiple debts into a single new loan, typically with a lower interest rate. Now, you're still fully responsible for repayment, and you'll need good credit to qualify for favorable terms. It's also dangerous, though, because what I experience is that most folks who get a debt consolidation loan,
end up doing so to take the pressure off without actually changing the habits that led to the debt in the first place. And so you've got to identify what was the root cause. Am I just treating a symptom, the debt, because of lifestyle spending beyond my means? Or am I truly, you know, resolving the situation? I've already handled the habits, and now I'm just looking to, you know, eliminate the debt as quickly as possible with as little interest as possible. Typically, and this is just my experience, typically what I find is most people that get a consolidation loan haven't done the hard work to change the habits that led to the debt in the first place. So then they call me back 6 months later and say, all right, Rob, now I've got the consolidation loan. And guess what? The credit card debt's back. So I want to avoid that. Now, when it comes to debt management, that is my preferred way, without a doubt, for you to get this paid off once and for all. Keep in mind, when we do the debt consolidation, roll everything together, even if there's a lower interest rate, typically we have a longer payback period. So what that just simply means is if we have a lower rate, but we pay back over a longer runway, you know, we're probably going to end up paying the same amount anyway. And that's one other reason I don't like it. With debt management, the debt stays right where it is. If you're with Capital One on a credit card, you're going to stay with Capital One. You're at Citi, you're going to stay with Citi. But what happens is each of these credit card companies have a department they call credit counseling, and they all have an approved interest rate, and it's always lower than the prevailing rate. Typically, keep in mind, the average interest rate right now is about 23%. Typically, credit counseling rates are between 0 and 10%, often between 0 and 8. So a dramatic reduction, you know, in many cases, 50% less, make, you know, or more. And so that's great, because that just means now I've got a larger percentage every month with the same payment going to principal reduction with that lower interest rate. The other key is you have accountability because you're paying through Christian credit counselors. Thirdly, they're going to help you do a budget. That's great. That's just an added benefit. And then fourth, and this is a big one, don't miss this. You know, what happens with credit counseling is you have a level monthly payment. See, if you've ever been paying back credit card debt, you probably notice that as the balance comes down, the minimum payment comes down because it's a percentage of the balance. Well, what's your, you know, likely response to that? Well, I'm just going to pay as little as possible because I don't see myself getting out of this debt anytime soon. So I might as well put that money to other good use. Well, that just extends the repayment period. But with credit counseling, you have a level monthly payment that fits into your budget. And because that payment doesn't come down with the balance, every month it's a larger percentage of the overall debt that was owed, which is great. And you put those two things together, the fact that we've got a dramatically lower interest rate and the fact that we've got a level monthly payment, all of that together results in, on average, you paying that debt back 80% faster. That's a game changer. And so this is absolutely my preferred way. Now, keep in mind, there's many credit counseling agencies out there. They're all nonprofit. They have to be. But the one that we've worked with for a long, long time, and they've worked with literally thousands of our listeners, is Christian Credit Counselors. You'll find them on the web at christiancreditcounselors.org. So, Makisha, long answer to a short question, but I would stay away from debt consolidation. I would absolutely do debt management or what's called credit counseling, and I would use Christian credit counselors. Now, let me take just a moment and mention one other option that I don't like, but folks will often use, and it's not debt consolidation, it's not debt management, it's a third option that's called debt settlement. Now, here's what happens there. With debt settlement, you will find a company, and by the way, there's a lot of bad actors in this space, so this is just another reason to stay away from it. But with debt settlement, they will ask you to stop paying your creditors. I know, it's crazy. They're going to tell you that, well, if you stop paying, they're going to get into collections, and that's going to create the environment where we can come in behind you and negotiate a reduced settlement. But guess what? Number one, you're not honoring your obligation, and I think as Christ followers, we need to. Number two, you know, you are putting yourself in a position where you're going to trash your credit because you're stopping payment. So you're going to get into collections. You know, it could be charged off. There could be a judgment that's legal, a legal judgment against you. All of that's going to hit your credit report, just creates a real mess. So that is not what you want to do. So bottom line, these are the three kind of most common ways people pay back debt: debt consolidation, debt settlement, and debt management. My preferred approach, again, debt management, and our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help. By the way, if you have less than $4,000, you probably don't need it. Just snowball it, smallest to largest balance. Free up as much as you can in your budget. Put as much toward principal every month as you can. Got over $4,000, that's where debt management really shines. All right, a quick break, back with our last segment, 800-525-7000.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach three at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let me take just a moment and tell you about what it means to become a FaithFi partner, and then we'll head to the phones. Anthony's holding patiently in Wisconsin. FaithFi partners are those that support the listener-supported work of FaithFi. They come alongside us each month with a gift of $35 or more, which is huge because as a listener-supported ministry, the only way we can bring you this broadcast in partnership with our friends at AFR is through your listener support. And so these are the men and women that say, I love the program. I've benefited from it. I want more people to get this message. I'm not getting this anywhere else. And they say, I'll be in the boat with you to the tune of $35 a month or more. Now, as a way of saying thank you, and because we know that if you're a FaithFi partner, you want to be a good steward of God's resources, we produce some world-class resources that we send out to our partners on a regular basis. In fact, we're preparing the next partner mailing in May. But you would get four copies of our beautiful, really thoughtful magazine, Faithful Steward. It's gorgeous and really incredible content. You get four issues a year mailed to your door. Plus, every time we come out with a study or devotional, which is typically twice a year, you'll get that mailed to you as well. So if you get on board as a partner before the end of April, you'll get our first partner mailing of the year, which included Look at the Sparrows, our 21-day devotion, and issue one of the magazine. And then you'll turn around and get the second mailing in May, which is our second issue. And I just saw the very first one off the press yesterday. It's incredible. And our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from the Book of Ecclesiastes. So you'll get two mailings in a very short period of time, and we'll be thrilled to do it because we know these will be an encouragement to you. So if you want to become a partner, just head to our website, faithfi.com, click give at the top of the page, and you'll find all of the details. All right, let's round out the broadcast today. As many calls as we can. I've got room for probably two more right now, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Anthony, thanks for waiting patiently there in Wisconsin, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. First off, I want to thank you for your program. I try to listen to it daily.
Awesome.
The financial advice from a Christian perspective is invaluable. But my question is, My wife and I are going to be purchasing a home, hopefully this year. Yep. We have a purchase agreement already lined up. The homeowners right now, actually, they're looking for a new house, and they have a home equity line of credit that they're going to use to purchase their home from the sale of the home that they're living in. And my question is, the credit union that we're going through, they're offering us the, you know, the standard 30-year mortgage with one monthly payment.
Yeah.
But my wife and I, we try to do extra payments at least once a month, maybe once every 2 months. And the loan officer said that they offer a bi-weekly payment plan. Okay. And I just wanted to get some of your insight on that. What would be better? Which one would be best? You know, the pros and cons of both.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Anthony. And I love you sending extra to the principal, because that's really going to pay off. I mean, if you just send the equivalent of one extra payment a year, it'll take a 30-year mortgage and make it like 26 years, depending on the interest rate. But it's going to cut years off, which is awesome. And, you know, that's a real savings in interest. Now, here's the thing. I like the biweekly payment option, and I'll explain for the rest of our listeners what that is in just a moment. The only thing I don't like is if in doing that, by setting it up through the credit union, if they're going to charge you a fee, you don't need to do that, because you can essentially do this on your own. Now, if they're willing to do it and not charge anything, that's great. The other thing is, you don't want to have to do it. You want it to be an optional thing, because if forever, if for any reason you ever needed to just go back to the one standard payment a year instead of the half payment every, 2 weeks, you would want that option. You don't want to have to be forced into doing the biweekly payment. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But essentially, you can do this on your own. Now, let me explain how this works for the benefit of the rest of our listeners. So think about this. When you make a mortgage payment, you make one payment each month. So you make 12 per year. And that's just the way most people pay their mortgage. With the biweekly mortgage payment, or some people call bimonthly, essentially you make a half payment every 2 weeks. Okay. Now, when you make a half payment every 2 weeks, there are 26, 2 week periods in a year, which means you're making 13 monthly payments. You're making an extra payment every year. And so by getting into that, you know, biweekly option where you send a half payment every 2 weeks, essentially, if you can get into that rhythm, you're going to, every 6 months, you're going to send an extra half payment. Every year, you're going to send an extra, the equivalent of one full payment. That's great, because again, that one extra payment a year makes a dramatic difference in the total payback of that mortgage. The key is, I don't want to pay for the option to do that, because it shouldn't cost you anything, and I don't want to be required to do that. But apart from that, I really like it. Is that helpful, though?
Yes, sir. It makes sense.
Awesome. Well, Anthony, all the best to you and your bride on purchasing that home. That's going to be a real blessing. Just make sure you don't get stuck with a home that you can't afford. I realize homeownership is really challenging right now. And, you don't want to stretch and buy a house that's beyond your means. But as long as you keep it within your means, typically that means around 25% of your take-home pay for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance with a 20% down payment, then it'll be a real blessing to you. Hey, thanks for calling today. Call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program. By the way, stay on the line. I'm going to send you a copy of Faithful Steward. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Lisette. How can I help?
Hi. Good morning, Mr. West. I have a question. My husband and I, we have a whole life insurance policy. We've been paying it for about 10 years, and we only have $19,000. We should have $24,000, but that's what it shows. We were thinking if we should cancel it, they would only get $16,000.
Yes. Okay. What is the death benefit on that, Lisette? Do you know?
I believe it's $150,000.
Okay. And do you all need that death benefit? I mean, if something, well, first of all, who is it, whose life is insured? Is it your husband's?
It's for my husband.
Okay. Yeah, payable to you?
Yeah. And we have two children, so we're all in there.
Okay. But you're the beneficiary. So if he passed away, the $150,000 would come to you, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if he passed away, would that create a hardship for you because you lose income?
Yeah, he's the one that provides mostly for our home.
Yeah.
I work part-time.
Got it. Yeah, so that's the real purpose of this. And that, you know, I would prefer you see this life insurance as offsetting that risk that exists, that if he were to be called home by the Lord and he passes away, that would be a create a challenge for you because his income is gone. But the most cost-effective way to get that life insurance is not through a whole life policy where it's combined with a savings vehicle. It's through what's called term insurance, which is pure insurance. You're simply paying the cost every month for the mortality expense, what it actually costs based on the actuarial tables to insure his life for a set period of time based on his health and the amount of coverage that you want. But I suspect that $150,000 wouldn't be enough. But the nice thing about term insurance is, you know, maybe you get a 10-year policy on his life so that between now and when you all retire, where at that point, hopefully you've got enough in the way of assets and income sources like Social Security, where you no longer need his income. He wouldn't have it anyway if he's retired. And then you don't need that insurance anymore. You drop it. But while he's still working, you've got plenty of insurance so that if he passes away, you've got enough to be able to, you know, fund your lifestyle for the rest of your life. Well, the most cost-effective way for that insurance is term insurance. So here's what I would consider doing. And, you know, remember, we only have a couple of minutes together on the air here. So if you want to get an advisor to get in the middle of this, that would always be the better option. But just my kind of high-level thoughts are, let's determine how much insurance you need. You know, what would it take for you to replace his income at least between now and when, you know, he was planning to retire? Instead of 150, you may decide that's $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000. And then let's go see what it would cost to get a 10-year term policy for that amount on his life payable to you. And then I suspect it's going to be perhaps less than the policy you're already paying. And once it's in force, and that's the key, we wouldn't want to do anything until that policy is in force. But at that point, then you could cancel the whole life, reclaim the $19,000, maybe use that to shore up your emergency fund. And now you're no longer paying for the whole life policy. You've got the cash value to do something else with, and you have more life insurance for the next decade so that if something happens to him, you're good. And then once you all get to retirement, you don't need that policy anyway, and you drop it. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you. Thank you so much for your advice.
All right. You're welcome, Lisette. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you very much. Well, folks, I hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. I hope it's helped you to think about your role as a steward in managing God's money, that we're to hold it loosely and give it generously. By the way, speaking of giving generously, each quarter we spotlight a ministry that we just love the work they're doing in the name of Jesus. And this quarter, it's the ministry Heart for Lebanon. And, you know, let me take you to Psalm 82 as we wrap up here today, verses 3 and 4. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the afflicted and the destitute. You know, as stewards of God's resources, we're called to invest in what matters for eternity. And an urgent need right now exists in the country of Lebanon, where girls face exploitation and early marriage and a future shaped by fear instead of hope. And our partners, Heart for Lebanon, is a Christ-centered ministry that is meeting the needs of these young women, sharing the hope and love of Jesus, building up their identity, which is preventing a lot of these tragedies that are involving exploitation. If you'd like to be a part of sharing Jesus with three girls, you can do that when you go to faithfi.com/Lebanon, faithfi.com/Lebanon, or text the word faith to 98656. That's faith to 98656. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.